preacher said, "Let's walk." And the congregation said, "Amen."
Amen.
All right. The preacher said, "Let's talk." And the congregation said,
"Amen."
The preacher said, "Let's sing." And the congregation said,
"Amen."
The preacher said, "Let's pray," or meditate, as you choose, a UU congregation. And the congregation said,
"Amen."
The preacher said, "Let's pay." And the congregation said,
"Amen."
Actually, this time they said, "Let's walk." And this is what a UU congregation might say in reality. "Let's walk." Now, why would I say that? Actually, you didn't do that. You do pay, don't you? You put money in the collection plate. You support all kinds of fundraisers like the auction that happens every other year here. And most of you also pledge each year. You do pay for keeping this congregation and its programs and projects going. That's how we're able to be here today. But when it comes to talking about paying, mentioning money, many Unitarian Universalists would rather walk. Money. The Beatles sing, "I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love." That's a very noble thought. But they also had another song, not one they had written, that went, "The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and the bees. I want money." That's what I want, is the refrain. Money is clearly an important part of our lives, whether we like it or not. We save it. We even hoard it. We spend it. We even squander it. People worry about it. They become obsessed over it. They never seem to have enough of it. People will work hard to earn it and then invest or even gamble it in hopes of getting more. Some people wield weapons to rob others of theirs, and some even plot to kill for it. But people can also use money to buy things of beauty, to support someone or something that we value. As Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "Money, which represents the prose of life and which is hardly spoken of in parlors without an apology, is, in its effects and laws, as beautiful as roses." We can spend money generously on a toy to light up a child's life. We can give it away to people we love. We can donate it to people in need or to charitable institutions or to sustain a religious institution like this one. Today, on this Canvas Sunday, it is our hope that your generosity turns towards something which I assume by your very presence here is something that you value a great deal, this congregation. In the New Testament, the love of money is declared to be the root of all evil. Now, this passage, as you might realize, is often misquoted to say, money is the root of all evil. But it isn't money in and of itself that is evil, according to the scripture. It's the love of money, that is, giving money too high a place in your value system. That's what can lead to evil. Money becomes a negative force when people allow it to rule their lives, when it is treated as an idol. As the Universalist circus mogul and philanthropist P.T. Barnum once said, "Money is a terrible master, but an excellent servant." It is how we use money that can either cause us and others grief or can be a means of healing, liberation, and joy. Many of us Unitarian Universalists seem to believe that money is a tainted and ignoble commodity somehow, It has often been said that money is the taboo subject for us. We pride ourselves on breaking some taboos. We talk readily about sexual issues. We are not afraid to question the religious assertions of more dogmatic religious folks. We make no bones about going against the political grain. But when it comes to money, we tend to clam up. This is a subject that seems to make Unitarian Universalists uncomfortable. In a church I served many years ago, a collection plate was never passed. It was not the custom. Some felt that it was too much like traditional church to pass the basket. The most we ever did was put out a basket in an obscure corner. I would sometimes, literally, I'd see visitors wandering around with their fistful of money looking for a place to donate it. Once the administrator and I thought this is silly, and we put the hard-to-find collection basket on a table just outside of the sanctuary where people had to pass it upon leaving. And just us doing that quietly made all hell break loose in this congregation. Some people were actually furious that we made such a big deal about money by putting the basket where people could see it. That has since changed in this church. The typical UU hesitation about money is actually understandable. The last thing that we would want is to be like some of those evangelical traditions where guilt is used to manipulate people into giving money, where preachers whip people into a frenzy and promise their congregants that if they send in their dollars now, they will reap rewards. God's grace will shine down upon them in this life, and they will be entitled to at least a luxury condo in the life to come. Well, I know that I can't stand here with a straight face and hang hellfire and damnation over your heads, or dangle the carrot of God's generosity in the here or in the hereafter to those who are generous to this church. That won't work here, clearly, and you'll think your interim minister has gone off the deep end for sure. But there are some very good reasons why we Unitarian Universalists should make a stretch, maybe even a leap, and give more generously to our congregations than we do. No, this congregation doesn't offer you any celestial real estate in exchange for your pledge. But yes, you do get to share this beautiful space on this verdant piece of property, a sacred space that is made holy by this community, a space in which to gather, to celebrate, to care and be cared for, to explore and learn, to break bread together, and to have fun with one another in. No, this congregation is not a grace dispenser. We can't promise that with your pledge you are buying divine favor. Yes, we do cultivate things of the Spirit. We offer service that strives through worship, music, pastoral care, various activities, education, and other programs to meet some of your spiritual, emotional, social, and intellectual needs. No, we can't guarantee a cure for your ill health by using some special prayer or incantation. Yes, we can offer help when you are troubled or in crisis, when life deals you a heavy blow. And we offer social gatherings in which to create and renew friendships. No, I can't be an Oral Roberts type of preacher and say that God will strike me dead if by the end of this month there's not enough in pledges to cover all the expenses here. Well, of course I can say it, but you and I know it won't happen. But yes, I will absolutely promise that if we meet our projected expenses, you will see some of your friends around here smiling. Board members, finance committee members, the canvassers, the canvass co-chairs, and all of those whose activities and programs here depend on your generosity. Wouldn't it be wonderful if some of these folks wouldn't have to sit through painful sessions of trimming back programs where there really is no fat to trim? No, I can't plead that there are many souls out there that need to be saved from the fires of hell, and that if you give us your dollars, we will be able to bring more souls, more lost souls, into our exclusive circle of salvation. But, yes, there are those in this community and in our world who need help, whose lives are broken by prejudice, poverty, injustice, and despair. And we Unitarian Universalists do help by giving to local charities and institutions and by giving individual time to deserving agencies and programs. In short, by cultivating and encouraging social action. No, we are not in the business of saving more and more souls. Yes, we do want to be able to reach out and bring in potential members, because they may want and need what we have to give, because we may be able to enrich their lives by providing them a caring community of religious seekers like ourselves, and because new members enrich us with their ideas and their enthusiasm. A religious body like this one fills an important niche in the world. I would go as far as to say that this world needs Unitarian Universalists and the values that we uphold. Amid the many religious groups which offer a particular worldview with specific doctrines, with answers to the great questions of existence, we value, as our fourth principle states, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We ask the questions without supplying ready-made answers for our members. Amid all the bigotry and suspicion and outright hatred for whole groups of people that still exists in our world, we affirm, as our very first principle, this is our most important principle, as many have said, the inherent worth and dignity of every person, regardless of race, creed, national origin, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Amid the warring factions in so many parts of the world, we affirm, as our sixth principle states, the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all people. Amid the complex forces that continue to cut the rainforests and threaten virgin redwood groves and create climate conditions that threaten habitats and wiping out 100 species a day, we are the one mainline religious group in this country to affirm as one of our basic principles respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. There are certainly other voices out there expressing many of these same values, but as a religious body, ours is a unique expression, and we provide a spiritual home to many who would otherwise find none. Even if it's too much of a conceit to assert that the world needs Unitarian Universalists, we certainly need each other. Our lives are greatly enriched by each other's presence. The congregation, of course, does not exist to raise money, and yet, without money, it will cease to exist. So what we ask you to do today is to fund a collective dream of a strong and a solvent congregation which works to carry out its principles of freedom of belief and social justice, which strives to reverse the forces of violence, bigotry, and irrationality in the world, which educates its children in these basic principles, and which holds all of its members and all of its friends in a wide, wide embrace. To close, I'd like to share a little story I came across some years ago. It seems that a small boy sitting alone in his bed in the dark became afraid of the nameless monsters that he was sure were lurking around him. under his bed, in the closet, behind the curtains. So he feverishly called out for his dad, and his dad came into the room and reassured him by saying that he needn't fear, because God is everywhere, even in his room, and God would protect him. His dad left, but the boy soon cried out again, "Daddy, they're going to get me." Again, the boy's dad came in and firmly but gently assured him that God was near, and again he left. But the boy's fear wouldn't abate. Once again, he cried out, "Daddy, they're going to eat me." The sleepy dad got up once more, came in to his son's room and said, "Son, remember what I told you. God is here. You need not be afraid." The boy answered, "Yes, Daddy, I know God is everywhere, even here. But sometimes, Daddy, I need someone with skin."